No? Okay. We don't really change a lot. We just keep going and we keep doing things. And part of it is because we feel that's where God is leading us to continue doing. But other parts of that is that we sometimes get a little complacent and we just kind of keep doing what we're always doing because it's safe and it's what we're used to doing and it's what we're willing to do and it's what we feel is best for the overall effectiveness of the church. And one of those things is studying and reading Scripture. A lot of times I hear people say, well, I read my devotion this morning. I did my devotion this morning, or I had my prayer time this morning. And that's exciting, and that's wonderful to hear that people take the time to do that. But I wonder how many of us, myself included, how many of us read the Scripture, read the devotion, say a little prayer, and then go on with the rest of our life. And we don't really dig in to the Scripture. We don't really take it and understand what it's saying to us that day. How many of us take the time really to do that? And so the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about a couple things. First of all, we were talking about what does it mean to be a disciple? And then last week, I talked about the different pathways to discipleship. And now, for the rest of this series, we're going to kind of break it down into little bits and pieces of what will help us to be disciples for Christ and to learn to help and disciple others. And today we're going to talk about the Word. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can turn to 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at chapter 3 in just a few verses, verses 14 through 17. So there are Bibles in the pews if you don't have one with you. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Our Scripture today is actually one of the earliest writings of the New Testament. And what we see in this book, not just in 2 Timothy, but also in 1 Timothy, are the practices of the early church. Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul established this church in Ephesus, which is on the Aegean Sea, which is modern-day Turkey. It was, at the time, a very prominent and a very prosperous port city. But over time, actually over the last 2,000 years, because of the silt that has been gathered up, it is now 6 miles inland, so it has changed dramatically. But in its day, Ephesus was a center for travel and commerce, one of the great seaports of the ancient world. Its wealth and was legendary, and if you combine that with this continuous stream of sailors and certainly the influence of the Roman Empire, which emphasized many different pleasures. But it was in this that Paul established this church in Ephesus, in the midst of this culture and in the midst of this society that was created. And after 3 years of pastoring this church, he raised up and appointed a young protege by the name of Timothy. So 1 and 2 Timothy are actually letters that Paul is writing to Timothy for guidance in the practice of ministry. In the first book, Paul tells Timothy, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture." Essentially, what Paul is saying to him is, keep gathering, keep working together, keep studying the Word, but more importantly, make the main thing the main thing. I think so often in churches today, we get caught up in the politics and the culture. We get caught up in the weather and talking about all kinds of things. when we really should be just devoting ourselves to the reading into this discussion of Scripture. And that's what Paul was trying to lead Timothy into doing. So basically, the Word became the foundation for the early church life and the faith development of its members. They read, they preached, they taught, they discussed Scripture together. And we do that here. We certainly preach and teach the Scriptures. On Tuesday nights, we discuss it. But how much more should we really be doing? Why is the Word so important in our current culture today? Or is it just because it's what we've always done? It's just kind of tradition. We read the Bible. But how often do we really take it in? And how often do we really allow it to become internalized in our lives, in our hearts, our soul, in our mind? Well, as I read the Scripture just a few minutes ago, I come up with five things that will help us understand why the Word is so important for us today. So here we go. Number one, the Bible is the very Word of God. Paul states in our Scripture this morning that all Scripture is God-breathed. The word breathed means pneuma, or Spirit of God. So basically, what we're hearing here is that the Bible is not a human book. It is God's book. It comes from God. It is the Spirit of God. Now, there are two schools of thoughts when it comes to Scripture. There is the literal, and then there is the inspired. The literal says that this is the Word of God, and God dictated every single word to the writers of the Bible. Now, the doctrine of inspiration says that the Bible was written by those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the Word of God. And this is interesting. This is the only place in the Bible where we read the phrase God breathed regarding Scripture. But it is not the only place that describes Scripture as being inspired by God. The Old Testament is full of statements claiming to be the Word of God. As a matter of fact, thus says the Lord occurs, get this, 418 times in the Old Testament. And then God said occurs 46 times. And numerous times in the Bible, God spoke through prophets, but He also spoke through common people. And so, God is the source, and God is the ultimate author of Scripture. And because of that, it carries a lot of weight. It is His authority. That is why we call the book holy, and why it is worth our attention and worth our dedication, and it should be central to our life together. So when we read the book, when we read God's Word, we are experiencing His Spirit, His very heart, His very soul. And that is why we need to take it seriously when we read Scripture. The second thing is that the Word is God's revelation about Himself. The Scriptures are God's story about Him. And in the Word of God, God reveals His nature, He reveals His heart, and He reveals His very character to us. I think it's interesting that from the beginning of time, and even still today, people are basically asking the question, who is God? I mean, even Moses in Exodus chapter 3 asked the question, who are you? Remember, at the burning bush, asked the question. And it's interesting that God gave Moses a kind of oblique answer. He said, I am. I am basically means I am who I am, or even better, I will be who I will be. In other words, what God is saying to Moses is, you cannot fit me into a box. understand who I am. I am beyond explanation. I am not confined to your time and space or even your definition of God. I am. So Moses wants to see God's face. And the word face in Hebrew literally means glory. And so Moses wants to see God's glory. God's glory. And why does he want to see God's face? Well, because if you look into someone's face intently, you are looking at their soul. You're looking at their heart, their character. But God would not allow Moses to see his face. Why? Because he would die. And so what happens? He allows Moses to hide in the crevice of a rock. And when God walked by, Moses literally saw his backside. Now, the ancient rabbis interpreted this as seeing where God had been. So Moses was allowed to see where God had been and what God has done, because nothing tells more about a person than their past actions. So Moses was able to see what God reveals about himself. But God also revealed even more of himself through his son Jesus. The Gospel of John puts it this way: the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. John is saying that God chose Jesus as his messenger or Messiah to tell us who God is. Through Jesus, we learn that God is merciful. Through the story of the prodigal son, we learn that when we are lost, God is the one who pursues us and welcomes us back home. Through Jesus, we learn that God loves everyone equally. Whether you're high up or low down, or somewhere in the middle, whether you're a sinner, a tax collector, or a prostitute, God loves you all. And it was through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection that we learn that God is not willing that any one of us should perish, but that everyone would have life and have it abundantly. All this is recorded in Scripture. Through the Bible, we learn what the children sing. And matter of fact, last week when I was at the care center, this happens more often than I was expecting, but when we're at the village, one of the songs that seems to always be wanting to be sung is "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." Why? For the Bible tells me so. The Word of God reveals who God is to each and every one of us. And it is God's Word. The third thing is that the Bible is our guide for life. Jesus said this: "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." This is a cute little thing I found out as I was preparing for the day. The word Bible, B-I-B-L-E. It is often described as this: basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay, so you write that down. I didn't put that in the sermon notes. I'm sorry, I should have put that in the sermon notes. But you can put B-I-B-L-E and put basic instructions before leaving earth. All right? Through the Word, God's Word, His inspired Word, His breath, His Spirit, God gives us guidance and parameters by which we are to live. God told us over and over again, do this, but do not do that. Do not lie. Do not worship anything else but me in your life. Do not commit adultery. Do not hate people who hate or hurt you. Do not do anything else on the Sabbath, but rest and worship me. Following God's word for our lives. It is truly a matter of life and death. Living the life that God intends for us to live, because that is the only place where we will find true life. When we hear God's word and we seek to apply it to our lives and everything that we do and say, we are truly bringing new life in Christ, not only to ourselves, but to the people around us. All throughout the Bible, we find strict rules by which God helps us to walk in His footsteps to honor Him. And this is so we can experience the best of what God has promised us. God does give us some strict regulations, and not because He's a mean God, but because He's concerned about our well-being. He wants us to have the best He has to offer. You see, God is already, He's already been where we want to go. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows what we need, but He also wants to give us the information and the wisdom to get there. God gives us His word because it is a matter of life and death. He wants to give us the wisdom in which we are to live. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge is knowing what I should do. But wisdom is the power to do the right thing. It's not enough to just have knowledge. You must have wisdom as well. And we gain that through His word. If we want to live in the word on a daily basis, if we do that, we will not only become wise, but we will become empowered to live for Him. The next one, through Scripture, God speaks to us. We call it the living Word. Hebrews 4:12, one of my favorite pieces of Scripture, says this: "For the Word of God is alive and is what? Active." It is active. One of the most profound and easy ways that God can speak to us is through His Word. It's not just words on a page, but now they fill us with meaning and power. They fill us with the ability to be able to stand up, as the kids sang this morning, with confidence. Things aren't always going to be perfect. I think one of the things that we do a disservice to people is when they're coming to know Jesus is we make it sound like if you just come to Jesus, your life will be perfect. Everything will fall into place. You'll find the right husband or wife. You'll find the right job. You'll get the best of everything. That doesn't always happen. But what it does give you is the power to be able to accept whatever God gives you, to accept the blessings in life, that for some of us in our humanness, we think they're not so much blessings. But God works through those things to turn things around. And when you have a relationship with God and the Word becomes living in you, then you can begin to hear God's sweet voice for your life. Answers to questions, solutions to problems, insight into issues, maybe even calls to correction, the right paths to take. So let me ask you another question this morning. When was the last time the living Word spoke to you? When was the last time you heard God speak to you? The more time and the more discipline you have in reading, the more time and discipline you have on reflecting on the Word of God, the more keenly you can discern the voice of God, the inspiration and the guidance that comes from God so that you may live for Him and Him alone. And then finally, we are called to live the Scriptures. I think I said this before, but the Scriptures, the Word of God, His breath, His Spirit, is the center, or should be the center, of everything that we do. It's not enough to know the books of the Bible. It's not even enough to know, to just know the Bible. We have to go beyond that. We need to live into the Scriptures and allow the Scriptures to live in us. Our way of life is often developed on the basis of the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. Because in the Word of God, we discover our purpose and our mission in life. I might even go so far to say that it defines who we are. And that is why every day we have to live in the Scriptures and allow the Scriptures to live in us. I don't know about you, but I certainly do not want to be defined by my mistakes. I want to be defined in how I live my life. I thought about that with my own mother, and I thought about it with my father, and I've thought about it in the people that I have admired the most in life. I define them, I saw them not as so much what they accumulated, material possessions, but how their character was seen in their love for people and their love for God. Some of the poorest people in the world are the people that I admire the most. Some of the people that have gone through so much in their life, these are the ones I admire the most. There's a missionary couple that have been missionaries in Burma for years, Paul Young and his wife. Some of you may know them. His wife, I forget his wife's name, Elaine. She passed away some years ago, but Paul passed away recently, and Lorne Bethel, who is one of our missionaries, was working with them many 30-some-odd years ago. And on Facebook, they had a service for Paul in Burma. Hundreds of people showed up. He had a mission field in Burma for over 40 years. And one of the things that my parents knew Paul, because they went to Thailand when he and his wife were in Thailand and visited them. Those are the people that I look up to and respect, and I feel honored. I've never met the man, but to just know his life, that he went to a place that was not a safe place for anyone to be in those days. And he went there and changed the lives of all these people. People that were the pastors of that church where they had the service was a small child when Paul was there. And to see him stand up with tears in his eyes. The Word of God was center in his life. Paul encourages us to continue in what we have learned and have become convinced of because you know where you've learned it. You see, God doesn't want us to get off a path that we may be on because we're selfish and we're stubborn and we think we know better. And so God's Word should make and become a lamp unto our feet. And if I am not living in the Word and allowing the Word to live in me, then our culture begins to determine our values, our beliefs, and our life. I see it happen so often in our society today. That is why the Bible needs to guide us and direct our steps. That is why if we stay on the right path that leads to the abundant life God wants us to embrace, we can do it through His Word. And we can lead other people in that journey as well. God's goal for us is to follow His map for our life, so that we will be thoroughly equipped and transformed, not just for some occasion, not for just a moment, but for every good work and time. And suddenly, when the Word lives in you, you live for Jesus in every moment and every decision and every spoken word, every action taken. It no longer becomes a conscious decision because His word is now in you. His desires are in you. Your principles, your character, your very self is centered on the Word of God. And when you are rooted and connected to God's Word, it becomes a part of you and it guides every part of your life. And as a result, God can use you to do something you never thought you would do. Your life has been literally transformed and changed for every good work that God sends your way. Able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That scripture speaks volumes. Because oftentimes in life, we don't want to do things. We don't think it's in our character. We don't think it's in our abilities. But I'll tell you what, God could take a simple person like me, a simple person like you. He's done it before. And He can create in you something powerful. You may not think you got it in you, but you do. Then we, like Paul, can say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ, what? Lives in me. Then your life shall honor God. And not only will you be honoring God, but you will be a blessing to the people around you. And who knows, maybe the people that you need to be a blessing for, or God is leading you to, is someone right in front of you. Someone that you've never met before in your life. I want to just conclude with this. Michael W. Smith recently had an opportunity to do some concerts. And some of you may not know who he is, but he's a Christian recording artist. He had an opportunity to go to South Africa. But there was a problem at the airport. In order for him to go where he was going, he had to have a page in his passport that had nothing on it. And he didn't. And so they weren't going to let him on the plane. His band and everybody went, and he wasn't able to go. And eventually, they put him up in a hotel, and eventually, through different ways, he actually ended up going to South Africa, and he got there just an hour or two before his concert. And he was talking about how he, on his way to go from the airport to the hotel that he was going to stay at, he had to call an Uber driver, and the Uber driver came and was talking to him and found out that he was he had been a Christian, but he kind of fell off, and he was just, you know, talking to him about, well, what do you do for a living? He goes, well, I'm a singer. And he goes, what kind of songs? I'm a Christian singer. And he says, you know what? This is the third time this week that a Christian has got into my car and talked to me about Jesus. And Michael tells a story because he said, you know, I was really angry that I missed my flight. And I was really angry that I was going to have to stay in a hotel while my band was flying to South Africa. And I was really angry because I didn't know if I was going to be able to make the concert. And it hit me. God has a place and a purpose for every one of us. And He has control. And he says, you know, I've been studying the Word for so long. And some of those things I glance over, but he says, you know, I had to go back. And I had to realize that God was using me in that moment. And all my anger and frustration, God used me in that moment. And he says, and that young man, that Uber driver, when they got out of the car, when they got to the hotel, he said, there must be something about this Jesus because you're the third person this week that's talked to me about Jesus. Study the Word. Dive into it. Lean into it. Love it. It will help you to be the person that God created you to be. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just am so grateful for this group of people because they inspire me. They may not realize it, but they do. And we all, you know, we all have issues. We all have problems. None of us are perfect here. But they inspire me because they're here. They take the time to be here. They take the time to invest in the ministry of the church wherever they can. But more importantly, they love you. And I see it in their eyes. I see it in their faces. And I see it in how they communicate and how they share with one another and with those who walk through the doors of this church. There's a love here, Lord. And I thank you for that. And as we leave here today, may we leave fully aware that your word is your spirit, and that it is through your word that we see who you truly are, and that you guide us, you speak to us, and that as we read it, we live it out on a daily basis. And for those opportunities that spring up when we least expect it, help us to be ready. Help us to be able to share our story, which is your story, so that others may know and come to know you. Even if it's an Uber driver, even if it comes because of a missed plane, sometimes the missed opportunities are the opportunities God gives us to do something wonderful. We pray this in your name. Amen.